For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
I am really glad to be here. When I was single and then married without children, I was an expert on parenting. I was a youth leader and I could tell parents what they were doing wrong. When my kids were young, I still thought I was pretty good and knew a lot. By the time they were teens, I went in hiding and I would not talk publicly about parenting at all. And now that they're raised and doing all right, I am just one parent to another. I'm not talking to you as a professional, a counselor, just a parent who really cares about this subject to parents that obviously care as well. I'm also glad that you're here. I really didn't know whether the room would be empty because I didn't know how much we wanted to admit that this might be a helpful topic, but we can at least say it's for our spouse or for our friends or something like that. I have a lot to say about this subject because I might be one of the angriest people or was one of the angriest people around. And I needed a lot of God's grace to improve in this area, but I have had victory in this. And I also have a burden for this topic because of two trends in our culture. And one trend that is prevalent in our culture is that I think, at least since the millennials, and it was my generation that started this belief, but there's a belief in this culture that we must express our emotions and our feelings, that we're not being honest unless we express our emotions and feelings, including anger, and it's harmful to us if we don't. And so we do, even if we know maybe we're not expressing our feelings of anger in the best way, sometimes we feel like we can't help it. And I think we need to remember that God says that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So somehow we have to learn to deal with this emotion of anger in a helpful way and not just in our raw, immature emotions. The other trend is that we also believe that we are a product of what happens to us. And so a lot of us think that if we have an outburst of anger with our children, that we've ruined them for life. We think they're too fragile. I had a woman in a Bible study confess one time with tears and red-faced and shame that she lost her temper and she threw a Barbie doll. And I'm like, did you throw it at your kid? No. Did it accidentally hit your kid? No. I just got frustrated and threw it down on the ground, and she thought her kids would be ruined for life. All right, if we believe that, our kids will believe that, and they will be much more fragile than they need to be, and they will not be able to handle the anger that they are going to get from teachers, other kids in place. So we want to learn to stay out of the two extremes. Our kids are so fragile, they can't take any outburst of anger, or, you know, it doesn't matter, and if it does matter, we can't help it anyway. God knows that we're going to be angry, and so he also says, be angry and yet do not sin. And sin means to violate his command on how we should live. He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil, God's enemy, an opportunity. And so it's not just the expression of anger, but it's what we do with this anger after the fact that is key. All right, so now I want you to know that then today my goal is not to help you eliminate all anger. Anger is a God-given emotion, and it's a helpful emotion. It helps us to fight for things that are worth fighting for. It's to protect, you know, what we need to protect. And so we don't want to eliminate anger. The goal is to express our anger in a redemptive way, a mature way, for the good of your children. And so the motive should be for the good of our children, and we want to learn to gain freedom over our self-centered anger. We all have self-centered anger, and that's what we're going to work on today. Okay. Freedom from self-centered anger is difficult for four reasons. The first one, sometimes it's difficult to recognize. Some of us have the personalities that we know we're angry because we have outbursts of angers, you know, often. But other people are not so obvious in their expression of anger, and they might not even recognize it. There is passive-aggressive behavior where there might not be an outburst. There's just going to be a withdrawal and a rebellion, and that is anger as well. Some people suppress their anger, and they tell me, I'm not angry, I've never been angry, and yet when you start digging, they are very angry people. And so if you have passive-aggressive or suppressed anger, listen, because you have to deal with anger just like the rest of us. All right. Another reason, it feels so justified. You know, how am I supposed to respond when you don't listen to me? How am I supposed to act when you're so defiant and disrespectful? You know, some of us believe our kids don't listen until we get angry and yell. And so that, it feels justified. What are we supposed to do? Another one is that it feels empowering and safe. And this is when it's a secondary emotion to cover up fear or hurt or shame. Then I don't want to show my kids I'm afraid, I'm hurt, and so anger feels empowering. We've all done it, maybe, but if not, we've seen it. The kid who's lost in the store, and when the parent finally finds the child, it's like, you know, where have you been? What are you doing? There's anger, and that's to cover up the fear, and so it feels safe and empowering. All right. It's also difficult because too many times we just try to control the emotion of anger, and that's ineffective. I won't be mad. I won't be mad. I'll keep my calm. I will stay calm. And if you do this, most of us will explode eventually. Okay? It just boils until it just comes out. And if you do gain control over that emotion and successfully suppress it, then you're going to have all kinds of problems, health issues, and you're going. And so just trying to control your emotion of anger is ineffective. What is necessary is that we must change incorrect beliefs because beliefs control behavior. If you want to know how to control your anger, you have to look past the feeling to what are you believing in that moment. And that's what we're going to work on today. We all function in daily life on the basis of what you believe and what you believe will accomplish your goals for the day. Now, when we're talking about anger, we can talk about anger from past wounds, we can talk about anger from personality types, we can talk about anger from many angles, but what I want to focus on today is the goals of our daily life that are a result of what we believe. This means that if you are relating well with your children on any given day, you're thinking correctly that day. And if you're not, if you're not happy with your behavior and relating with your kids, it means that you're thinking wrong about something. And we're going to look at that. So, assuming that your physical needs are met, you will be motivated by what you believe will give you a sense of success, satisfaction, contentment, fulfillment. All right. After physical needs are met, these are the desires, and some might say even legitimate needs that humans have, and we all want these things. We want control. We want contentment. We want satisfaction and success. We make big goals and small goals daily to achieve these desires. So, for example, I want to be a good mother. That's a big goal. I hope we all want to be a good parent. All right. Then I have daily goals to achieve that. Today, a good mother means that I get these things done. My kids look good in public. You know, we all make different goals for this. All right. Now, to enjoy these desires, you must have correct goals and beliefs. And I want to propose that a correct goal is a godly goal. Why do I say a godly goal? Because we are here at a church, we believe in a personal and loving God who is our creator, who has designed the best way for us to live. He wants these desires met in us, and he has a way for us to meet these desires. A godly goal, a correct goal, will be to agree with him. What's going to give me a sense of success? What's going to give me a sense of contentment? A godly goal is one that is dependent on only God and you to achieve. If you depend on anything else, then you run the risk of not accomplishing your goal. All right. Your sense of fulfillment, success, contentment, etc., should not be dependent on people, children, or circumstances beyond your ability or right to control. All right. Who do we have the right to control? Only ourselves. All right, and when our goals are dependent on others to cooperate with us, then we could end up angry, depressed with people that block these goals. All right, so what I want to do is for you to take a few minutes to figure out what you believe and what your goals are set on. And so you have a handout. And if you're the kind that really likes to think and meditate and write something down and then check it out and correct it, you're not going to have time to do that. You can take it home and do that. We have a lot to cover. So just let's take no more than 5 minutes to fill this out. And you fill out how successful am I as a parent, or answer any question and circle the number. And then I would be more successful, or I would be more fulfilled if, and just write down the thing that comes first to your mind. All right, you can change it later if you need to. Does everybody have a sheet and a pen? Some people are looking for a pen or a pencil. The way you answer the question, I would be more, is telling you what your belief system is that your goals will be dependent on. That's why we're doing this assignment. Okay, we're going to go on. So here are your set of beliefs, and I want you to know that when your activity in a relationship or a project, which is what our goals are made of, results in feelings of anger, it usually means someone or something has blocked your goal in that endeavor. Any goal which can be blocked by forces you can't control is not a healthy goal, because your success is out of your hands. Now, I think this is very important as a parent, and it really saved me and got me on my way to being able to have control over my anger, because I really wanted to have a sense of success as a parent. I wanted to be fulfilled and satisfied as a parent. I wanted to enjoy my kids. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was grateful for that, and I wanted to have a good time instead of be angry all the time. And so this, if for us to realize if we're angry with our kids, that means that your goals are dependent on them that day. Doesn't mean they're behaving a certain way. Okay, they can frustrate us. I'm not saying that kids aren't frustrating, but if we are angry to the point that it is self-centered anger and, you know, we have to take it out on our kids, it's our wrong goals, not their wrong behavior. All right, we're going to look at that, and hopefully I'll convince you by the time. So now you can turn the page, and if you have time, answer the two questions. What do your children do that causes you to be angry with them, and what goals are they blocking? When I had kids at home, one of my goals was to have a clean house. And I really realized that the goal I was satisfying to have a clean house was my desire for control. I like to have control over my environment. Contentment, it gave me a sense of peace if my environment was orderly, because inside wasn't too orderly. So I wanted outside contentment and a sense of accomplishment. When my husband came home, and if the kids were alive and my house was clean, I thought he'd think I had a productive day that day. And so I had lots of goals dependent on a clean house. It was so bad that the kids in the neighborhood knew that that was a problem for me. One day, a 4 or 5 year old came over, neighbor kid, and said, "I'm coming over to play." And I said, "No, not today. I'm mean today. I don't really like kids today. You better go home." She walked past me, looked at my house, and said, "I'm staying. You'll be fine. Your house is clean today." She knew. She had spent enough time with us. Okay, so that was a goal. I had the goal not only to be a good mother, but to get the praise from others for being a good mother as they watch my children in public. I took two little ones on a plane, and all the people around me were like, "Oh, brother, I have to sit next to this." You know, and I brought enough snacks and enough Benadryl and enough toys that the kids were really quiet, and I got all the praise I wanted when I walked off that plane. But it was conditional to what they were doing. All right, so go ahead. Think about what in a day causes you the most frustration or anger with your kids, and then you try to figure out what goals they're blocking. All right, you getting some ideas? It's going to get really hot in here, so I want to keep moving if we can. All right. So now it's time for us to look at correct goals. And I was going to have us break up into small groups if we were in the cafe. It's not going to be realistic for us to do that now. So I want us to brainstorm together, and please call out some ideas that you have, because I think we have to start thinking this way. If we can help each other, it's going to be really helpful. All right, so the first one, what are some correct goals that will give you success in being a good parent? Not necessarily. Some days that is a good goal. I fed them, and I fed them something besides, you know, sugared cereal and candy, maybe. Maybe that's even a good day. I don't know. But yes. All right. Good. Thanks. What else? Great. I handled it well. I used good conflict resolution skills. It's not necessarily good conflict resolution, because that's dependent on us and them. Okay, but that I've learned some good conflict resolution skills, like, you know, being quiet, asking questions, speaking calmly. Yep, good. Yeah.
I apologize when I needed to.
Apologize. That is great. To own your own stuff and to apologize. Being an angry parent, I was very relieved to hear my 5-year-old tell a neighbor, even though it was embarrassing, I was relieved that she said, my mommy has an anger issue. She has an anger problem. What does that mean? That means I owned it. I apologized it, and she knew it was my problem, not hers. That's a great goal. Yeah. Right. Okay. She, Linda's bringing up a couple things. First of all, and I have this, to be a learner and to educate, continue to educate yourself on parenting. A great book she's referring to is Parenting with Love and Logic. And that talks about let the kids suffer natural consequences or imposed consequences instead of using anger. And so if you had a bike ride planned and the kids are not cooperating with getting chores done or whatever, then just to say, you know, I'm sorry you missed, you're going to miss out on riding bikes today. Yeah, there was one in the back and then, yeah, and then here. Responding with empathy. Oh, that's a big goal, but that's a great goal. You know, and love and logic teaches you that. You can, if you know your consequences, you can be empathetic. I'm sorry that this, you're suffering this. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, get a babysitter. No. We are going to get to that and some of the other goals. So hold on to that. And if I don't answer it, we'll come back. Okay. Yeah, a couple more. Okay, great. For those who realize and understand God is personal, He wants to be intimately involved with us and our parenting and our kids, we can ask Him. And we're going to talk about that more later. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. To understand your limitations for the day, this will give you a better day. To understand your limitations and ask for help instead of trying to do it all. Okay, and I had, yeah, pause, think, and choose my response rather than just react. And then I made the goal to be able to respond in a calm, respectful way, no matter how my child was behaving. That was making the goal. There will be no justification for my behavior. I will be frustrated. Let's make the distinction between frustration and anger. Frustration, I can be, you know, and I can raise my voice. But anger is this, I have the right to empty out every thought and feeling on you, no matter what it you know, how it affects you. All right, let's go to the next one. What correct goals will achieve fulfillment as a parent? I enjoy being a parent. I'm fulfilled in it. Yeah? Being able to depend on God. You might have to come up here and teach us all how to do that, including me. But yeah, that's great. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. That's a great one. You know, it's, I have that one too. It's kind of living with the long view in mind instead of living in the immediate. In the immediate, we're going to always feel justified in being angry. And so think about that. Yeah. What else? Yep. Yes. You are investing in an internal being, and what you choose to do today will determine what kind of adult they will be. And it's not all on our shoulders, but they are, you know, significant little people. They have a significant purpose in life, and we get to be a part of seeing that. That is fulfilling. Yeah. Developing gratitude. Let's remember why we wanted children in the first place. Yeah. Good. And not only feel gratitude, but communicate it to an appreciation for your family and your children. You know, if we're focused on the positive, we're going to be much more fulfilled. Good. All right, you guys got what I had. Let's go on to achieve satisfaction with life at this time, okay? And I didn't just say satisfaction with parenting because that is fulfillment, but, you know, when we are parenting and we have so much going on and we feel pulled and stressed, sometimes we can't be satisfied with life at this time. It's hard. It's stressful. So what would make it more satisfying? What would make it be having a good day, a good time? Yes. Thank you. That is great. And you know, we also have God's word that helps us know what he wants and what page he wants us on. So the more we know the word and are aligned with him, we can do that. Yep. Good. I agree. And you know, one of the things that helped me be more satisfied with life is I gave up my goal of a clean house. And when people would come in to my house and be like, I can't believe you can live in such a dirty house. Instead of being embarrassed, I had to say, yay, I'm accomplishing my goal. Okay. Yes. Lisa. What I'm doing. Okay, that's a good point, and especially if your achievement is that your kids will turn out in a certain way. You know, that will cause all kinds of problems. Through puberty, through teen years, you'll be hiding like me if you're looking for achievement at that point. All right, anybody else on that one? I had a few things. Don't be a martyr. And so that's accepting your limitations instead of trying to do it all. Choose gratitude. We've got to take care of ourselves. I almost put down, instead of caring for self, but I didn't think I should, is save money to get somebody to help you clean your house when you have young kids. You know, because that is a way to, if you care about such things, that's a way to take care of yourself. You got to rest. You got to go away sometimes. And then you want to parent with friends. If you parent alone, it's going to be really hard to have a sense of satisfaction. Parenting can be a lonely thing. And so finding friends to parent with is a good goal. Are you starting to get how we can make goals that just are dependent on us or God to help us? All right. Let's see, happiness in your daily routine. What? Let's help this way. What is going to help you be happy in your daily routine? I want to see parenting as honorable and that it matters. Great. Great. Parenting matters. And being a stay-home parent is important. We are doing the jobs of a nurse, of a teacher, of a business person. You know, we're using all these skills and developing these skills to make someone who is going to be a productive, useful adult. And that is valuable. That will help us. Yeah. That's great. Great. Later on, I have a schedule, and I was going to say, and no matter how many times that schedule is interrupted and sabotaged, try to find a way back to it, but managing expectations that it's always going to change or be disrupted is important. Yeah, Christine. Have fun with your kids. You know, they need to be invested in, and so have fun with your kids. Yeah. Wonderful. Did you hear this on the side? The goal is to be flexible and to be able to handle the different things that happen in a day. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. When we are only focused on all that hasn't been done for us to remember, our kids were fed today. Our kids are alive today. Our kids, you know, are safe today. That is a great goal. Don't Okay. I have another way of saying that. Don't compare your private parenting with others' public parenting. We can only compare their public parenting, and we'd never compare our public parenting to their public parenting. We compare our private to their public. And if you got behind their closed doors, we'd be more similar than you'd think. Okay. That is a great way to have a better day, is to understand your kids' limitations. One thing that I like parents to learn is that there is emotional maturity takes development. They don't go from being a toddler to responding in a mature way. And yet we ask our toddlers, you know, say, please be grateful, be really sorry. And those things are not, they can't go from infant to mature adult, especially when we're not mature adults yet. So, you know, that, yes. That is awesome. Here is a woman who has brain cancer, and something like that really helps us be grateful for every day that we have with our kids. You know, we can learn from her. We don't have to wait until we have terminal disease or a serious disease. Being grateful for our kids is great. All right, some of the things that I learned that would make my day daily routine happier is invest in the kids early in the day. If I had them focused and active and engaged in something, and then I needed to have some alone time, they were much better at having some individual time after I've poured into them and invested in them. I usually wanted to wake up and have them be entertained, and then so I could have my coffee or have my quiet time. And, you know, they just got restless and ornery. Invest in them first. That's a real simple goal that we can do. Make plans for them, get them outside, do fun things with them, and then I already said the other one. All right. Let's go on, because I want to keep, I got a lot more to cover, sorry. For contentment, I think it's important, if you're married, to invest in your marriage, to maintain exercise, maintain friendships, maintain ministry or different outlets for your interest. If you like to do volunteer work, if you have hobbies that you're interested in, this is necessary to have contentment and happiness in our day too. We can't just get lost in our kids. Okay? And then more control, then what kind of correct goals should we have? I believe developing self-control, giving eye contact when giving a command, and keep eye contact until they respond. You know, we often, and I was often busy doing something and then yelling from a different room, it's time, you know, to go get ready for bed, turn off the TV and go to bed. I never once had my kids say, okay, Mom, doing it now. Yeah. They knew until I came in and got there right in front of them that they weren't going to. So that's a way to gain control. Have your yes be yes and your no be no, and be consistent. I used to say that the only thing I was consistent with in parenting was being inconsistent. So I'm not saying that as someone who is consistent, but my kids got very comfortable with the phrase, Mom is back. And that means I'm back focused on parenting. I'm back focused on you. And so now you're going to listen. So those are some of the goals that we can have. Okay? And you can make your own. You can talk with your spouse and try to come up with some. But if you have goals, the correct goals that you can control, you will diffuse your anger. All right, now when we talk about developing patience, do not justify your self-centered anger. I said that before, but I want to emphasize it. Your kids don't make you have a wrong reaction. I used to say all the time, you are making me so mad, crazy, whatever. Thank God for my husband. Every time I said that, he'd say, kids, your mother is choosing to respond in, you know. And he could be outside cutting the grass, and I could be in the house. And if I'd say that, I'd hear his voice. Kids, your mom is choosing to be, you know, and that was helpful. We choose our response. I have to say, the more that you work on this, the better. There was a time when I was taking care of a sick, seriously sick, invalid father for 9 months, and I was getting 45 minutes to 2 hours of sleep a day taking care of him. I was a short fused. I was stressed out. I was angry. I was yelling a lot. And we were all on a vacation, and Gary and my kids called me in to sit down. They wanted to talk to me. And I thought, finally, they are going to apologize for driving me crazy, and they're going to ask what they can do to help make my life better. That's not what happened. I was told that I needed to stop being angry. And I, at first, was like hurt and confused. I went to my room and prayed. And God gave me 2 Corinthians 6, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about all the trials he had in his life. He was hungry. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He had all these stresses in his life. And yet he said, I had peace. I was sorrowful, yet rejoicing. And I was like, how did you do that, Paul? And he said, and then he tells in that chapter, the first part of that chapter, how he did that. He depended on God. He prayed. He got in step with God, the things that you guys have been saying. All right, so don't justify your self-centered anger, and have the goal. If you are a believer in Christ with God's Spirit indwelling you, it is your birthright to have victory over your anger and be able to have a right response to your kids that's effective. Sometimes that might be righteous anger for their good, but it won't be sinful, selfish anger. Find your choice in the situation. Children can take away your preferred choice, but not your ultimate choice. No one can take away your choice to choose your response. When my desire is to clean my house, keep it clean for 2 hours, the kids play neatly and quietly by themselves while I'm doing this work, they can take away my desire for that choice. All right, but when we are getting angry and we feel like they've taken away our choice, find your choice. You will have a choice. And I remember that, again, with my cleaning my house, I would stop and think, all right, am I going to choose to be upset with them and then have a negative day the rest of the day with them and I? Or am I going to choose to let it go? And the thing that helped me make the choice to let it go is I thought about what kind of memories did I want us talking about at family dinner when they were adults? And that's looking at the long view again, you know, and the long-term fulfillment. I was like, do I want them at every family dinner to talk about what, you know, a witch mom was every day and how angry? No, I wanted different memories. And that motivated me and gave me back a choice. All right. Then remember, this takes time. You might be breaking lifelong habits like I was. It takes time, but I'm here to say, as long as your kids see you growing and changing and taking responsibility, they're okay. They're okay. All right. So after those two, I think it's important to walk by the Spirit. What do I mean by that? God of the Bible says that we are alienated from Him because of sin, like anger, and that He wants to be reunited with us. So He, instead of having us earn acceptance by Him, He offers us forgiveness and restoration, reconciliation by what His Son Jesus did on the cross. And He says, when that happens, I will send my Spirit to live inside of you, to make you spiritually alive. And when we have the Spirit, He says, you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. I was talking to an angry mom who tried for years to do it herself, and she said to me when I was asking her, she goes, really the key is learning how to walk in God's Spirit. Take the time that you need to be with God in His Word and asking for these things. I used to, because life was stressful with our work at the church and raising kids, for a couple days, every once in a while, I would go away with a friend just for prayer, just for quiet. We spent the day quietly with God. In the evening, we fellowshiped, and I never had to pray about controlling my anger. After being in the Spirit like that, I had come home, and for a long time, I had the fruit of the Spirit. And so find the ways to walk in the Spirit. Also, pray for the power of the Spirit, because you can't do it. This is something that God has to give us. I want to read this passage to you, and I want you to think about it in terms of parenting. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in your parenting and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing good fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you do everything right. You're the perfect parent. You bring your kids to Christ by the time they're 4 or 5. No, guess what? It doesn't say that. It says for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. God gives us a Spirit, and Paul prayed for the people to be mightily filled with the power of the Spirit for patience. Okay? So that's what we can do. And then finally, you want to live in God's grace. What do I mean by that? God's grace says, I know you can't do this, and so I can, and I want to empower you to do it. He'll do it for us. And that is something that if you struggle with anger, you really have to learn how to live under God's grace. There is a verse that I called on a lot. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who those are called according to His purpose. When I would cry and pray with my husband about my anger, one of the greatest gifts He gave me one time was He hugged me and He said, honey, the one thing I'm grateful for is our kids will never be afraid of conflict. Okay. He gave a vision. He showed me God's redemption. And that turned out to be true. My kids might stir conflict, but they're surely not afraid of it. Okay? He tells us that, I forgot the other one. The law came in that sin would increase, but where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. God says, I made you their parents. I didn't make a mistake. I knew where you would have shortcomings, and I'm ready to give more grace for you and them in this. And then here's a final one that I think is important. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and patience and tolerance, not knowing that it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance? I used to think that beating myself up and feeling terrible for all my shortcomings was going to lead me to a change of thinking and change of ways. But God here is saying that it's his grace and his kindness that leads us to this. And so when I would be overwhelmed with, you know, thank God, I should say, I never had to have children's services called on me. I was not that angry. But when I was failing at my own standard and I was upset about it, God would finally say, if you're really as bad as you think you are as a parent, you better get under my grace and see how I want to redeem this, because if you waste more time feeling sorry for yourself, you're such a bad parent, you know, you're wasting time. Get under my grace and let me show you how I want to use this and how I can help you grow in this. And when we live under God's grace, we will win. Because it is his will for us to win, so it is his promise.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.